Welcome to my crazy life, Caroline's second podcast. Interesting. The first one did better than I ever could have expected. So thank you to all the listeners. I'm actually enjoying them. I'm getting a great laugh out of them. And to be honest, I didn't know if anyone's going to listen to the first one. I was like, who listened to it? But you did, and you loved it. And I'm so grateful for that. So thank you. I'm just here to tell the truth, have a laugh along the way, and life is hard enough without telling lies about it. So last week we did weddings. I got so many messages off people that were like, you're so right, a lot of shit. But I got other messages from people saying, I want to cancel my wedding. I said, please don't cancel your wedding over the podcast. Just put in, you know, the measures that you won't have the stresses and you'll try and enjoy it, because it's a lot of money for no enjoyment. So as I did, I wasn't sure what to do this week, but a few of you came back to me and a lot focused on parenting. Oh, yes. So I said, let's do having the children, not the physical labour part, you know. That's another day. Now, for myself, I always wanted children. I always wanted to be a mum. Unfortunately, it was a long journey for me, but that's another podcast. I definitely found parenthood probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's so difficult. Are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? There's no book. There's no manual. No book will prepare you for what you're going to do. I had this ideal version of myself. Pushing that pram. Oh, she's back to her size 8 figure. Hold on. Was I ever size 8? I don't think so. Maybe when I was born, maybe. But I had this image, because of social media, I had this image that I was going to go back to my normal weight. I was going to be, you know, pushing that pram up around the town. And the child perfectly dressed. The ideal version that we see on social media. By God, was I wrong? My God. Do you ever try and go out to the house with a baby? It took me 2 months to go outside from my first. I've found it so difficult. I mean, you go from living your life to not being able to piss alone. You have to bring this thing in with you to piss. I remember when my first was born, never stopped crying. Never stopped shitting. Never stopped puking. I hadn't the foggiest what to do with it. I'd read all the books, no books. There's no books will help you with this. It's so, so difficult. I had the perfect nursery. Oh, the best stuff inside it. You'd want to see it now, lads. It had this perfect, this cot that rocked, cost a bloody fortune. I had a special chair then that, you know, I'd rock them off to sleep and monitors, and oh, this was going to be amazing. 13 years, never went into it. Moved out, and he was 13. Yep. 13 years. That nursery was sitting there, waiting for him to leave the room. Will you go tonight, you think? Will you go tonight? No. Every time I put it in there, it started roar. It got to a stage where we had single beds in beside us, and we had literally a room full of beds. We still have someone in the bed, the 9-year-old. And the dogs, of course, they're very important to me. They're like my little family. I think you'll see an awful lot on social media, people, my kids sleep in their bed, and I got all this. And I was like, am I wrong here? Maybe it's me. Maybe my children are just pricks. What the hell? Like, but no, this is perfectly normal. And my advice to anyone would be to just do whatever you have to do to get some sleep. I mean, my children have vomited into the bed and I still slept in it because I've been so tired. You actually turn into a bit of a zombie, like, from the night feeds. It's so exhausting. And, you know, some husbands help. Mine didn't. And I suppose he had to work, so I suppose I took on that role, but by God, was it exhausting. Like, I used to wake up then during the night thinking I'd left the baby in the bed. And I'd be like, you know, at this stage of absolute panic that the baby was in the bed still, where it was in the cot beside me. But it was just like a zombie phase, I call it. You're walking around and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, will this thing ever go to sleep? Oh, I tell you, maybe mothers-to-be shouldn't be listening to this. But you should, because it's normal. Normal life. Don't be looking, thinking, oh, look at your one back to size 8. 9 years on, I still haven't lost the weight. My husband said to me the other day, I thought you were losing some weight for the show. I was like, excuse me? How dare you speak to me like that? Oh, Jesus, because you live on snacks when you're doing night feeds, because you're up during the night and you're eating chocolate and you're eating this and you're eating that. Don't even talk to me on the bottles. I think I probably bought every bottle on the market thinking it would fix the child. It's like, yeah, we'll buy this bottle. I remember just having so many teats, so many bottles everywhere, and the child still wouldn't drink the milk. I was like, what the hell am I going to do here? I had, you know, it's so difficult because no one tells you how to do this or why they won't drink milk. My boys hated milk, hated the sight out of it. They were like, they just were so reluctant to drink it. And in the end, I probably started them on food a bit too soon. Very bold. But I had no choice. But yeah, it's mad. Like, don't even talk about the prams. Let's talk about the prams. The prams nowadays, lads, are more expensive than a second-hand car. Yeah. You spend, I did it myself, an absolute fortune on this thing. I remember going uptown the first day with it and I couldn't collapse it. I was like, what am I going to do? I'll have to leave the bloody thing here. It's so hard to collapse the buggies. Obviously take the child out first. But yeah, the money that goes into these prams is something ridiculous. Like, and the children don't want to be in the buggy. Like, my child spent most time on top of me. No pram, no fancy cot, no. Up on top of me, lying up on my chest, carrying him around trying to do housework. They just didn't want to be in the pram. I suppose you have to understand, like, they're in your stomach for so long, right? And then you're like, oh, out you go now. There's your bed. There's your pram. Be happy in that pram. That pram cost €1,000, you know. I could have bought a second-hand car for that bloody pram. It's amazing because when you have your second, you literally, that's all I had. That's all I could have. But I'd say by the time you get your third and fourth, I'd say you throw them off your shoulder. Like, by the time I got to my second, I didn't even have a pram. I used slings. I was called the sling pusher in my family. I kept pushing slings. Did anyone ever go to the sling meetings where you can go and meet people that wear slings? And they're like, yeah, this is my sling. I used to love the slings because, you know, with your first, you're at home and you're chilled and you're like, oh, you're not chilled, sorry. Forget the chill part, but you're at home a lot. When you have the second one, you have to school runs or go to different activities. And you have to be mobile with this new baby. So I definitely slinged the second a lot. Which, you know what, wasn't bad because they love being on top of your chest. It's great. Walking around, doing the housework, doing everything. Expected to get back like that. You know, we're expected to get back to our size, whatever. Probably size 12. Let's say size 12. That's what I was. We're meant to be, you know, dressed, makeup on, you know, happy to have relations with the husband. Unfortunately, that takes a while, do you know, because we've been ripped apart. with these babies. No, I had to have sections with my two. It was just a safer option. I had a lot of complications. I wasn't too posh to push. And if you are too posh to push, fair play to you. Fair play to you. Because why would you have to do it if you don't want to? It is a major surgery, that's all I'll say. It's very hard because you can't drive for a certain amount of time, and you know. But I remember I had, for my first, I had, I think it was four different types of thermometers. So I had the rectal one, I think it's up at their bottom. I had the doo-doo thermometer is a new thing. Then I had the ear thermometer, and then I had the forehead thermometer. And I remember I thought he was sick. It's like, oh, he's feeling a bit unwell. And I rang my sister-in-law. She was a nurse. And I was like, she was at work. And I was like, I think he's sick. I think I need to bring him to the doctor. And she's like, okay, what temperature is, you know, what's his temperature? I said, the doo-doo is showing 38. The ear is showing 37. The rectal is turn 36. The forehead. She couldn't talk for a few minutes because she was blowing the floor laughing. And she had the whole room that she was in the hospital laughing, because it's such a difficult first mother thing to have like four different types of thermometer. Imagine, like, I just was a very panicky first mother. Now I'm as easy going, but by God, I was very panicky. I was like, what the hell? What do I do with this thing? My husband was like, why can't you leave the house and go get some shopping? How would I leave the house with this child? Then comes along the dummy. The best invention ever. So for years they've told us, no, dummies are bad. Do not use a dummy. Do not put a dummy into that child's mouth. It's so bad. Then it all changed. Dummies are good. Dummies keep your child alive. It keeps them actually breathing because they remember to suck the doo-doo. So it's actually a good thing now. Where for years they're telling us it's not. But I suppose when they're going up to age 3 and 4 with the dummy, it's a problem. Mine was a problem because he wasn't talking. They were like, yeah, you need to remove the dummy. I was like, oh, that's a godsend. I'm losing my godsend. I used to call it the gobstopper. Stop him roaring. There's the dummy now, trying to take it off him. Oh, Jesus. We had some tough nights, so we did, with that doo-doo not being around. Oh, I think so. Oh, anyway, they're gone now, and, you know, then it's the, you know, you'll hear. Does yours want sleep? Sleep the night. So you'll hear all these ones now. Oh, mine's sleeping all night since about 2 weeks. Nonsense. Mine's sleeping all night, yeah. You get all this chat from women about like, mine is sleeping, yours is sleeping, mine is not sleeping. Why is mine not sleeping if yours is sleeping? Just do your own thing, you know. Because I used to meet people, oh, mine's sleeping. It's like, how the hell is yours sleeping? Like, I had good patches and bad patches. He started sleeping the first one, I think, from about 9 months. And then the minute I went back to work, stopped sleeping. Stopped up all night, and I tried to go in and do a job. It is mad, but you just have to just say, okay, this is my child is going to be different, you know. It's just, oh, it's so difficult to not look on social media and see all the perfect mums and the perfect bodies. It's not, you know. I remember like going out with, if I was going to an appointment or going to the clinic with the child, and the firstborn, the big bag. The bag now. It would have everything in the bag. Doo-doo, second doo-doo, 3 changes of clothes, Calpol, Nurofen. Oh, Jesus. Food if they were hungry. I remember going to this, it was a craniologist, because my fella had bad colic. I remember sitting above, and they were like, first child, because of the bag. the bag, like the bag of goodies, it was just full of stuff. Everyone was like, "You don't need that much stuff." I'm like, "I know, but when it's your first, you just, oh, I tell you, it's so difficult, but it's just part of life, I remember we went away actually for when my first was small, and I remember the suitcase. It was so heavy, we had to pay 100 and something euro because it was overweight. The husband looking at me, staring at me. Went over to Lanzarote. I didn't know if they had the formula. I didn't know if they had the nappies. Tried to bring it all with me. Not thinking, oh, there's shops abroad, There is shops abroad and they will have all this stuff. Remember one day he counted on holidays how many hats I brought for the child. I think it was something 15 hats, not one hat for myself. Now when I go uptown, I'll just buy for myself. Oh, Jesus. The one thing I found very difficult is the public health nurse calls when they call the following day after you're having the baby. It's very difficult, it's so difficult. Record that at all. Sorry, I'm trying to record it on my phone. I don't think it recorded at all. Yeah, it's so difficult when they come because you're trying to do your best and they're like, "Oh, the child is underweight," and you're like, "I'm feeding it." Like, what do you want me to do? I'm giving it the food it needs. And they're saying, "But the child is underweight, the child is not gaining any weight." That was it then. That was sleep done for days because I was there in with the papa. Oh, Jesus, it's so, I'll tell you, madness. I remember the breeding machine. Anyone have the breeding machine for under their mattress? So I used to have the breeding machine under, in case they stop breeding. Oh, Jesus, I went off one night. Well, I swear to God, the run-in we did was absolutely mad. Child had just rolled off it. But the camera, with the camera on the cot. Second one came, lads. Jeez. There was just nothing like it, It just, we never, bothered with any of this stuff. It just is nuts, isn't it? It's like everything. You're so used to it, you kind of say, "Ah, yeah, they'd be absolutely grand there." Do you know? You'd be checking temperatures all night. But yeah, motherhood is difficult. Then you have, 'tis time to head back to the work, back to the job. So now, not only being a mother, you have to do your job. That comes with an amazing creche. Yes, going to the creche is just, my fellas hate it. The roaring, the crying. It was so hard to leave them. But they got into it. But in creches, they must be dipping them in mud, though. They must be going out and saying, "Roll into that mud there for your mother." Because I remember the amount of clothes he used to go through. Every day, clothes, more clothes, more clothes. I was like, "What the hell is going on out in that creche?" Don't even talk to them about the sickness. They are sick every week in a creche. At the start, though. At the start, they're very sick, and yeah, they're just constantly like Calpol, Nurofen, and then like when they get a bit older then and you're at the creche door and you're giving them the Calpol, Nurofen, right away, like they shouldn't be there, but you're like, "I can't take any more sick days." Like the reality is that you have a job to do, you have to go to work, so I mean they have to go in and then they ring you not feeling well. Wow. Absolutely fine this morning. I remember going to bed every night worrying, "Oh, will I be able to go to work? How will I tell my boss? What I say? What I do?" Because back then you couldn't, like nowadays it's a little bit more flexible to work from home because of COVID, but back then it wasn't. Like there was no way for me from working from home. I had to go into work. So every day, like, I'd wake up saying, please, God, let him be okay to go to the crèche. Please, God. And then they go into the crèche and say, oh, he ate everything. Like, you try and give him anything strange and they won't. They're like, spit it out. Rotten, rotten. I hate that now. Then the crèche then's reading all around them because competition. They love the bit of competition. Then they're sending home the, oh, she made this card for you there now. You're like, straight into the bin. Who keeps all these little pieces of paper? I don't, anyway. I throw them straight into the bin. I'm like, oh, gorgeous. Look at it. Absolute shit. That's my dog now, Casper. Yeah, I remember one time we were sitting in bed in the morning. The child was after being sick all night, and I said to my husband, I was like, I'm so worried about him going to the crèche in the morning, you know. And he was like, sleep grand. And then he says, I'm actually thinking about getting hair replacement. I'm online here. I said, you're online there now. And you're looking up hair replacement while I'm worried about going to work and how the bloody hell I'm going to leave my child. That's the thing, they just don't have the same mind where we have to worry about how will I get to school or how will I get to work, because I have to work. Do you know? Casper, get over here. Bloody dogs. Well, they're the best children you can have, though. I mean, come on. Oh, the best spy. Look at him. Oh, the best spy. The best spy. They are the best. Like, they give you so much love. You can leave them for the day. They don't need to be looked after. You couldn't leave a child for a day. You'd be arrested, you know? Yeah, it's a fun time. And I hope I haven't scared anyone away from parenting, because it is great. If you're watching this by video, you'll see me smiling. It's great. They're great. I have two boys and they do absolutely nothing for themselves. It's my own fault. I know it is, because I have done too much for them and they're just treated like two kings here. God help any woman that gets them, or men. We have to be open to all possibilities here. But yeah. They are great. They give me so much joy and happiness. I love them. I wouldn't be without them. But it is hard. It's hard. And I think it's harder. Women find it, our brains are wired differently and we worry more about them. We worry about their future and we worry about their friends and have they got friends, where men don't seem to worry about that. They just doesn't come into their vocabulary. It's weird. Where I'm always like worrying about them over silly things. They have friends, they have friends to play with, and you know. But yeah, like the crèche days are great because, you know, they're gone. Then they go to school. Oh God. It's just so hard at school because it's like, oh, they're on a half day tomorrow. I'm like, oh, half day, just like that. There's no, like, you know. Then they're off for 2 months in the summer, 2 weeks for Easter, 2 weeks. It's very hard to get someone to be minding them. No one wants to mind them, like, you know, pickups, drop offs. It is hard. Oh, don't even talk to me on the homework. At the moment, me and the 9-year-old have so many fights with homework, it's not even funny. He throws the book at me at least 5 times a day. Absolutely hate. Why is there homework? Can somebody tell me why there is homework still? Like, in this day and age, I think they learn enough at school. Somebody wants to punish us mothers. They want to punish us. They're like, they have too much of a good time. They're trying to do a job, trying to raise a family, trying to tidy a house, trying to cook and clean. Yeah, too easy. Give them a bit of homework. That'll soften their cough. I'm telling you, it softens my cough every day. It's absolute. Every day I think, I'm lucky enough that the last 3 years I haven't gone to work. just my husband's job, it just, I had to take a back seat. Now I'm taking a front seat in my career. Because, you know, stay at home mum is so difficult. There's little, very little thanks in it. You're kind of a little bit of a slave. It's so rewarding though, isn't it? So rewarding. Listen, I love collecting my kids from school every day. It's important to me, and to be able to come home and cook them dinner. But I mean, it's very difficult, like, because you feel like you don't have anywhere, no outlet, rather than cooking and cleaning. And that's why I started my social media page, because my kids are getting a bit older now. So I'm like, they don't need me as much, especially the teenager. I don't see him from Friday to Sunday to eat. And that's a big step, like, for parents. Like, when you have, you know, Colin is great. He's loads of laughing and joking out. But when they move on to teenager, they're just gone. And you're just like, oh, those nights. You wouldn't let me out. You wouldn't move out of my bedroom. And now you don't give a care about me. Not a rat's ass does he care about me. It's out in that room now with the phone and the animals. Happy out, but isn't it great? Gives me a bit of peace. Okay, I'm going to end it there. I hope this was long enough for everybody. Because that was one of the big complaints, was not long enough, Caroline. Not long enough. So this one is a bit longer. Yeah, hopefully it'll keep going up the charts. I think, what was I, 15 the last time I checked on Spotify, which is absolutely amazing. I can't believe it. Like, I'm there sitting there going, like, I thought nobody listened to the first few anyway. I'm like, ah, but it'd be grand, because I'm doing it because I love it. I'm really enjoying this side of it, where obviously I love making videos and content. If you're not following me already, I'm on TikTok and I'm on Instagram, My Crazy Life Caroline. Show all my life. Show the craziness of my house, my kids, my animals, my addiction to clothes, my addiction to makeup. Yes, I have a lot of addiction problems, but you listen, none of them are too bad. Well, the green bottle probably is, but we try and keep that under wraps, you know. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. The next one, I was thinking doing communions, funerals. Which could be controversial, yeah, funeral. But you know, I don't shy away from controversial stuff. So, thanks so much for listening. And I will see you on TikTok or Instagram.